Well, good morning. It is indeed good to be here. We were up here last Sunday evening for the evening service, and I think that was our first time back since we started services in Cumberland. And it's just amazing how you get into your life and getting church started there and all of that. Yeah, I can make excuses, but it is good to be here. It's also interesting to me how when you have something that's on your heart or something you're thinking about or maybe a struggle that you're struggling with, something that's pressing, and as you go through a service, you see it come out in different aspects. And so I don't know what's on your heart this morning. I don't know what you have gained this morning already, but probably you will see some more of it in the message. I was seeing the message coming out in much of our service this morning already. The message that I'd like to bring this morning is something that I have thought a lot about in the past while. And it's something that applies to all of us, regardless what stage of life we're at. I'd like to look at Proverbs chapter 20. You can open your Bibles there. I'd like to think about walking in integrity. Walking in integrity. That thought comes from verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity. I think we'll go ahead and read this chapter at this time, Proverbs chapter 20, and you can pay attention to that thought as we read and watch for those thoughts. Proverbs chapter 20, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The fear of a king is as a roaring lion, whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Divers weights and divers measures, both of them alike, are an abomination unto the Lord. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. It is not, saith the buyer, but when he has gone his way, then he boasteth. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, But the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Divers weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? It is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy, and after vows to make inquiry. A wise king scattereth the wicked, and bringeth the weal over them. The spirit of man is the candle of the spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly. This is a typical chapter of Proverbs where there's little nuggets of truth the whole way through, and we're not going to look at all of them, because what I'm going to do with this morning is go through and pick out the things that apply to this thought of walking in integrity. And I may not even get all of them. And I know that I will not get all the points of what it means to walk in integrity. I don't know that I even fully understand that all. I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of the word integrity. If we had time for everyone to give their definition of what integrity is or means, I don't know what that would look like. We can think of integrity as in the integrity of a structure, or the integrity of a ship. The integrity, is it going to last? How sound is it? How whole is it? What is the integrity? Stability, will it hold? Trustworthiness. It's some ideas of integrity. We can think of integrity in a person, which is, of course, where we really want to go with this morning. And the definition that I believe Webster's had was firm adherence to a code of values. A person of integrity has firm adherence to a code of values. There's a code of values, and he is sold out for that code of values. Firm adherence to a code of values. Do you have a code of values this morning? You do have a code of values. We all have a code of values. What is our code of values this morning? Strong said this, completeness, which captures that idea of wholeness and soundness and stability, completeness, moral innocence, simplicity and perfection. There's a thought about that moral innocence. I think about a man of integrity. What does it mean to be a man of integrity? Moral innocence. When it comes to moral codes, codes of right and wrong, a man of integrity is innocent, is blameless. When he is judged by the codes of morality, of right and wrong, he is uncondemnable. The other thought, and this is just kind of my perspective of integrity, but when I think of integrity, I think of a person who has consistently made right choices, a person who has consistently chosen right. And so I don't see integrity as something that a man is living a life in the depths of sin and becomes saved. He suddenly has a reputation of integrity. He doesn't. Integrity is consistently making right choices. It's something that is built. It's something that you look at a man of integrity and he has a life. He has proven his integrity. He has proven that he has been making right choices. He has proven his moral code. A man of integrity consistently chooses these right things, and by doing so, he shows his code of values. He shows what's important to him. And so, what I want for us to do this morning, as we look into what it means to be a person of integrity from this chapter, is regain a personal vision for myself to become a man of integrity. This is another one of those subjects, at least for me, that you can have this ideal. Maybe even you know some people that you would say, that's a man of integrity, and that's a man I would like to pattern my life after. And we see that, we have that ideal, or we see that person, and we want to be that. We want to become that, but we don't want to do all the hard work that goes with getting there. Being a person of integrity, there's a lot of hard work that goes with getting there. And I want us this morning to regain a vision of that man of integrity that will compel us to make those right choices, to make those right choices today, that we become men and women of integrity. So looking into this chapter, the first thing I see is in verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. A man of integrity will live a life of sobriety. Often the Bible uses the term sober as opposed to being drunk. And I believe, I don't know that any of us are struggling with that. I don't know you all that well, but I don't know that any of us are, that's a huge struggle in our lives. But I think there's more here that we can read from this. A man of integrity is a man who lives a life of sobriety. You don't have to look around very far in our world today to realize that our world is about anti-sobriety. I don't know what you call that. It's a life of looseness, a life of pleasures, a life of whatever makes me feel good. Our world is anti-sobriety, but a man of integrity will live a life of sobriety. I don't know if you've ever thought about the word amusement. I know I've talked about this to my students already. I don't know if you've ever thought about what that word means. We know what the root word means, muse. There's a song in our songbooks and in the Bible, the verse, "Muse, O my soul." You're supposed to think. Muse means to think, to ponder. The prefix means not. Amusement is about not thinking. It's about getting... You go up and down the streets and people are listening to their loud music. Maybe they enjoy it. People do a lot of things in this world to keep themselves from thinking, to keep themselves from being sober, to keep themselves from thinking about the meaning of life. A man of integrity will live in sobriety. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And I think of a man of integrity, I think of a man of a sound mind, a man that you can go to for counsel and advice, because, or a woman for that matter, because he has a sound mind. He's learned how to think about life properly by reading and studying the Word. He's a man with a sound mind. Verse 2. "The fear of a king is as a roaring lion. Whosoever provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul." The thought that I drew from this verse is that a man of integrity will respect other people, especially authorities. It says that if he provokes a king to anger, he sinneth against his own soul. If authorities are angry, it's probably because someone isn't submitting to their authority. At least that's my experience with authority, in not submitting to them and in others not submitting to me as an authority sometimes. When a person of authority gets angry, it must be because someone isn't cooperating and isn't working with that authority. But a man of integrity will respect other people, all people, but especially those in authority. You know, when I'm tempted to not submit to authorities, it's because I think I have a better way than they do. I understand this better. I know how this should work. And there may be situations where that's actually true. There may be. But that doesn't change the authority structure that God has given us. It doesn't change that. Submission brings security and stability. In fact, a man of integrity will submit. It seems like the man of integrity has all the right answers, right? Because he is a man of integrity, he should set the authority straight. It's not how it works. A man of integrity will submit, and by submitting, it builds his integrity. Submission brings security and stability and true freedom. So often we And maybe we even hear this idea of being free in Christ. There is such a thing as freedom in Christ. But freedom in Christ does not mean that I'm free to do whatever I want to and nobody's allowed to be my boss. I'm free in Christ. You can't tell me how to live. That's not freedom in Christ. Submission brings freedom. Submission brings freedom. Verse 3, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. A man of integrity will avoid unnecessary strife. And this may tie very closely in with the last point of respecting other people. But a man of integrity will avoid unnecessary strife. There are some times that strife is unavoidable. And Jesus even talks about that as a Christian, when you present the gospel, it will bring strife. It will bring a sword. It will bring divisions. That's okay. It was brought out in Sunday school this morning. They're not arguing with us. They're arguing with the Word. They're arguing with God. It will bring those moments of strife. But a man of integrity will avoid unnecessary strife. I had to think about the tendency to argue. I've been accused already of liking to argue. And maybe that's true. I'm not sure. Maybe others know me better than I know myself. I've always said there's a difference between discussion and argument. I like discussion. An argument is when it turns into me proving that I'm right simply for the sake of being right and proving you wrong simply for the sake of being wrong, and we go away and it was all pointless. Nothing happened. Nobody gained anything. Can we keep our discussions from being arguments? Can we keep our personal feelings and opinions out of them enough that we don't hurt other people's feelings and opinions? Are we known to be the one that always has a devious and errant viewpoint? Are we known to be that kind of person? A man of integrity won't be the one with always having the devious and errant viewpoint. You may know people that, and maybe you are, trust not, but when a discussion comes up, there are people you can always count on to come in with some roundabout, out-of-the-way argument to the discussion. Is that how you are known? A man of integrity will avoid unnecessary strife. In this discussion or in relating to others, do we just promote our own view? Is that what it's all about? Is it about making them understand my side of this discussion? Or can we listen perceptively to the other's ideas? See, if we can't listen perceptively, we're not avoiding the strife. A person of integrity will avoid unnecessary strife. He will listen to others' ideas. He will not be meddling, verse 3. Goes on to say, but every fool will be meddling. A person of integrity will not meddle with others' affairs. Verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. A person of integrity will work to supply his needs and the needs of his family. A person of integrity will work to supply his needs and the needs of his family. I don't know how you rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10 from being lazy or diligent. I don't know how others rate you. I know if lazy is on the low side of the numbers, I would rate myself on the low side of 5 somewhere. And we probably all have lazy tendencies in us at times. But a person of integrity will supply for his needs and the needs of his family. A lazy person can always find an excuse. This verse says that a sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, and it's been pretty cold recently. It's pretty cold today. I don't know if you have to work outside in that cold or not. Lazy man says, I can't work, it's too cold. The verse goes on and says, therefore, he's going to be begging in harvest and have nothing. If it was so cold all year long that he couldn't plow, it must have been that cold for everybody else. But the verse says he's going to be begging from other people. Well, if it was that cold, everybody will be out begging. No, this is a sluggard. This is a man who made excuses. This was not legitimate. This was not a reason. This was an excuse. A lazy man can always find an excuse. When I think about a man of integrity, I think of a person who sees opportunities and uses them. A person who sees opportunities and uses them. There's a lot of opportunities in this world. And so you have to counter that with the fact that a man of integrity is not one of these people that sees every new opportunity that's going to turn out so much better than his last opportunity and continues to jump from one thing to the next, hoping that something works out. A man of integrity supplies for his needs and the needs of his family. He sees opportunities, he uses them, but it's a man of stability, a man who is working to supply the needs of his family. Oftentimes the person who jumps from one new idea to the next, hoping that one of these things is going to work out, oftentimes what it's about is this new idea, I don't have to work as hard to get ahead, theoretically. He's hoping that it'll work better for him. Sometimes the best way to get ahead or get somewhere, and I don't know this from experience necessarily because I don't feel like I've gotten ahead financially or anything, but steady persistence. Get out there and plow, and you'll have food. Stable and steady, he provides for the needs of his family. Verse 5, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. I don't know exactly what all this verse is trying to say. But I took from this that a man of integrity will listen patiently to the counsel of others. And it even goes a little beyond that in what this verse seems to be saying to me, but we'll get to that. He will at least listen patiently to the counsel of others into his life. And we talked about that a little bit in Sunday school this morning. Being open when someone comes to talk to me. What's my first response? To accuse them of what I was wrong in their life? Or will I allow them to speak into my life? Most of us are naturally full of ourselves. Maybe I should say all of us. We were born that way. We're full of ourselves. We're selfish people. We're naturally full of ourselves. And the natural man, full of himself, has the answers for his problems. He thinks he does. He doesn't need help from anybody else. He doesn't need anybody else's advice. And maybe there are areas where we do need help and we know it and we feel like we need help and we ask advice. Maybe there are other areas where we do feel like, you know what, this is my little project of my life. No one needs to tell me what to do here. A man of integrity will welcome the counsel of others. See, the man of integrity understands that his heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Man of integrity understands that his heart is cursed. It's fallen. His own desires, his own plans. He needs the help of others to see himself correctly. Man of integrity knows that his heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And this verse, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. I don't know for sure, but I think the analogy is maybe of a well that is very deep. And it takes a lot of work to lift that bucket from the whole way down there at the bottom up to the top with water. But a man of understanding, a man of integrity will draw it out. He will not only listen to the counsel and receive it. He will go seek the counsel. He will ask for counsel. He will ask others' opinions. He will welcome their counsel into his life. A man of integrity will have men that he looks up to, that guide him, that give him this counsel. Verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. We just talked about that. We're full of ourselves. But a faithful man who can find. I just took this verse and took the opposite. Most of us proclaim our own goodness. We're good at that. Sometimes we use the phrase patting ourselves on the back. We're good at that. But a man of integrity will proclaim the goodness of others. A man of integrity will proclaim the goodness of others. He gives genuine encouragement to other people. And it's really not that hard to do, except it is, because we're full of ourselves. And we have to overcome ourselves and give encouragement to others. And the other thing that's tricky about this is it can be done with ulterior motives. We can give other people praises and encouragement for several ulterior motives, but one of the biggest is that, you know, then they'll like me and they'll do good things back for me, or maybe some other people will hear me give them encouragement and give them praises, and that it just gives me a few brownie points. Listen, it doesn't give you any brownie points unless you are sincere in your encouragement. A man of integrity shows gratitude and appreciation for the skills and good deeds of others. Genuine gratitude and appreciation. I remember one time how a friend did this for me. It was one of those totally out of the blue moments. He just thanked me for being his friend and that I'm somebody that he can talk to. And it was one of those moments, we weren't really on that kind of discussion, but it was out of the blue. And that blessed me, that encouraged me, that it must be worth a little bit to somebody. Let's be that kind of person that shows genuine gratitude and appreciation for the skills and good deeds of others. Verse 7, the just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. A man of integrity will leave a legacy of integrity for his children. And maybe I should have made this the last point. I didn't, but I just took it in the order it comes. A man of integrity will leave a legacy of integrity for his children. This happens by default to a man of integrity. Proverbs talks other places about the man who has raised up his family and he sits in the gates and his children have a good report of him. A man of integrity, his children grow up watching him. They want to be like him. And I keep using men. I'm talking about women too, all of us. Just be men and women of integrity and pass on a legacy of integrity to our children. His children will watch him and will learn the way he respects other people, the way he relates to other people. They'll learn about his value system. They'll learn what's important to him. What will my children learn from me? It's a sobering question to me with young children. What will my children learn from me? And I think about my life now. My children are beginning to learn things from me. They start to talk like Dad. They start to want to go where Dad goes. They start to want to do what Dad does. I think about my life now. If my life now is not what I want my children to be, then I better change now. I better begin becoming a man of integrity now if I want my children to have something different. What memories will they have? A man of integrity will leave a legacy of integrity to his children. Let's jump down to verse 14. It is not, saith the buyer, but when he is gone his way, then he boasteth. man of integrity does not take advantage of other people. And this ties in with the respect and some of those other things that we talked about already. But a man of integrity does not take advantage of other people. We have this man who is bartering and, it's not worth that much. It's not worth that much. And he gets his item, whatever it is, and he goes his way and he boasteth about how good of a deal he got. Well, either he was lying the one place or he was lying the other place. I guess there's that part of integrity that comes in here as well. Somewhere he wasn't telling the truth. Either it was worth more than he said it was, or else, which is obviously what it was. A man of integrity does not take advantage of other people. He treats others fairly, even if he can't afford to. Maybe this man was strapped for money. It's not worth that much. But then he goes away and he boasts about it. A man of integrity treats others fairly even if he can't afford to. You can't afford not to. You can't afford not to. When's the last time that you have told someone to keep the change? Is the last time someone bought something, a larger item maybe from you, and you just, let's round it up to the next $50. It's little things, but it can make a big difference. Went through the drive-thru the other day and pulled up to the window and got out my wallet to pay, and the lady says, no, the lady ahead of you paid for your order. I didn't know what to say. I said thank you to her, but then I thought about it later. It wasn't her that I needed to thank. It was the other lady, and I that's what a man of integrity does. I don't know that person, but I do know that those little things are a blessing when you're the recipient. A man of integrity does not take advantage of other people. The other thought I pulled into this one is this thing of maybe somebody does something for you or buys something for you, and you feel, rightly so, that you need to pay them back for that. You need to make sure the score gets settled. And sometimes we can get quite a record setting with making sure our debts are paid and them making sure that we didn't pay too much. And maybe there's a place for all of that. I'm not sure. I just believe that a man of integrity doesn't take advantage of other people. But neither do I think he goes to great extremes to make sure this record is set straight. Listen, if someone bought something for you and they say, hey, don't worry about it, after a while there's a place to just not worry about it and let them. Can we allow others to bless us in that way? I guess that's what my concern is. Sometimes in that whole thing of making sure it's paid for, making sure I paid, what we're really doing is not allowing others to bless me. If they said, don't worry about it, it's okay, I'll take care of it, I'll pay for it, at some point I need to let that go and let them bless my life. And the same is true in reverse. Do I go and demand, hey, you know, you owe me so much because I did this and this. There's a place for sending bills. There's a place for all of that. It's not really what I'm talking about. Can I bless other people by just giving? Especially financially in that way. Which this verse is tying into the financial with the buying and selling. Man of integrity does not take advantage of other people. Verse 15. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Man of integrity values wisdom and knowledge over riches. This ties in with what we were talking about. Man of integrity values wisdom and knowledge over riches. I don't know a whole lot about philosophies of education and philosophies of getting rich. Listened to an audiobook recently about education, about the different education systems of the world and how different communities educate. And what they were doing was comparing some of the top scores, international test scores. They went to the smartest nations in the world to figure out how they got that way and what's working and why it's not working in America. And that's all kind of beside the point. But I do believe one of the problems in just looking at that and looking at wisdom and knowledge and riches, we as Americans are so easily driven by a pursuit of wealth. Pursuit of wealth. We have what we call the American dream. I don't know if education factors into that American dream or not. We're driven by a pursuit of wealth. You know, the other day I was on the road, and there's a log house off the side of the road. And just as I was coming up to that house, the brand new Suburban, nice, shiny, clean Suburban, pulls in the driveway and pulls up to McAdam driveway, pulls up to the house. And I just got done listening to this thing, and I was kind of weighing all this. And, you know, that appeals to me. I want that. But where's it going to get me? Where's it going to take me? Man of integrity values wisdom and knowledge over riches. And I'm not just talking about education. We can go be the smartest person in the world and still miss the real point of life. Wisdom and knowledge. But he understands that the riches of this world won't get him very far in spiritual life. Wisdom and knowledge. Pursuit of wisdom and knowledge. And we could go through Proverbs. I've made a study of that already, and it's fascinating. We could go through Proverbs and see the pursuit of wisdom and knowledge that God wants for us to have. God wants us to pursue wisdom. God wants us to pursue knowledge. That's His plan for us. A man of integrity values wisdom and knowledge over riches. In verse 22, jumping down to verse 22. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. A man of integrity does not seek revenge. A man of integrity does not seek revenge. He leaves that to God. And I think we can take that so far as to say that a man of integrity does not take delight in the misfortunes of his adversaries. It's pretty easy for all of us to do. At least it's easy for me to do. When I'm not getting along with someone very well and something bad happens to them, it kind of feels good. Something bad happened. A man of integrity takes no delight in the misfortunes of others. He seeks no revenge. He leaves that to God. I thought about Joseph. We're not going to go there. The story is pretty long. But I'll just touch on a few points in Joseph's life of integrity. The first one that's obvious is in his resisting the temptation of Potiphar's wife. It was an open door. It was an easy to indulge. He resisted that temptation. That's a man of integrity. He understood God's sovereignty. He knew that he was in Egypt for a reason. He could have held all kinds of things against his brothers. He could have killed them when they showed up. He didn't. In fact, he forgives his brothers when they come, and he shows himself to them. They're scared of him, and he forgives them. He says, it's okay. God had a plan. God had a reason. He forgives them. The other thing that I noticed in the story of Joseph, Pharaoh not only welcomed his family, but he gave Joseph the discretion to make Joseph's family shepherds of Pharaoh's cattle. He said, you pick out. He said, I can tell your family's good with cattle. He said, you pick out which of your brethren would be good to take care of my cattle. That was the integrity that Joseph had with Pharaoh. That Pharaoh said, when your family comes, you pick out some of your brothers to be responsible. That was the reputation, that was the integrity that Joseph had with Pharaoh. After Israel died, Joseph's brothers were again scared. They said, now that Israel's dead, Joseph's going to for sure kill us. And so they go back to him, and Joseph says, no, it's okay. I'm not. I forgive you again. He forgives them the second time. And the last point of Joseph's life that I see was that when he died, he asked to be carried back to Canaan. A man of integrity has a vision for his children, for the future, that's larger than today. In the long and short of it, I'm not sure what it mattered where Joseph was buried, but it shows to me that he, though he lived in Egypt most of his life and was a man of reputation, a man of position in Egypt, he said, I don't belong here. This isn't my home. When I die, you carry my bones back to Canaan. A man of integrity has a vision beyond this life. Quote that I found said, live so that when your children think of fairness, caring, and integrity, they think of you. And you get a vision of a man of integrity. I don't know where you find yourself. I feel like I have a long way to go. But let's start today with consistently choosing right. And when we do make mistakes, let's be humble enough to admit it. Choose right today, that we can become men and women of integrity. We can be men and women for God. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your plumb line, that we know what is truth. You've given us a code of conduct, a moral code. We know what is right, we know what is wrong. I pray that you would help us to adhere to that code and to live our lives consistently choosing what is right. I pray that you would help us to be men and women of integrity, men and women with sound minds, men and women who are serving you with all of our heart and soul. Lord, I know there's many more aspects of integrity that we didn't look at this morning. So I just pray that you would help us to be honest with ourselves about our integrity and to continue to grow. Lord, we know that you understand our humanity. We're grateful. We thank you, Lord, that you were willing to send your Son to this earth to fully understand our humanity, to die for our sins, that we can have new life in you. And I just pray that as we live our lives, we would claim that power, the power in the blood that we sang about this morning, to live victorious lives for you. When you come, or when you call us home, we would be ready to meet you. We pray in Jesus' name.